Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. Thank you for tuning in to Real Talk About Real Relationships, where we challenge the status quo on relationships and raise the bar on how we do them. I'm your host, Judy Graybill. So before we start today, I just want to say thank you for the few listeners who've already tuned in to my previous shows. This is only my fifth episode, and I've already had several people listen in and download. And I even had a caller last week, which was a friend of mine and also host of Hot Words, Hot Topics of Vasi Views. And last week, we were talking about the lies you tell ourselves. And I don't want to give any spoilers, but I think you should go watch that episode, or listen rather, because I think what she called in to share about the biggest lie we tell ourselves is probably true for most of us, and probably mostly for most of the people listening to this show. So I won't give it away. And I know this is spontaneously scheduled today, but if there is anybody listening, the call-in number is 845-241-9887. And what I'm talking about today is, why is love blind, and when is it a bad thing? So love blindness, it really has to do with that euphoric feeling we feel when we're dating a new person, right? Where everything is glorious and wonderful, and you're walking around on cloud nine all day. And that's because of love hormones. That's right. That is a real thing. So let me just share what those are: the oxytocins, dopamine, and serotonin. And a lot of people, there's so many places to go with this. Let me just read the description. So in research article, I read that those are active up to 2 years. And that actually takes us beyond the honeymoon effect. And even if you could be, and that's one of the reasons why, honestly, you should, in my opinion, date somebody for quite a while. Well, I know there's no rule of thumb on this, but 1 to 2 years at least, I think is a good thing because, for this reason. Now, the thing with the love hormones is that it creates these rose-colored glasses. And that whole love blindness thing is really about feeling like that person can do no wrong. And that love lasts long after the hormones have faded down. And of course, yes, there are ways to have extending those love hormones or boosting those oxytocin levels after the 2 year mark. But that's another show. What we're talking about today is really an extension of last week, because last week I started out talking about the lies we tell ourselves, and that got me to thinking too, part of the reason we tell ourselves lies within relationships is because of, one, these rose-colored glasses, the love hormones. And then beyond that, we don't want people to be anything different other than that original view we have of them. So during this honeymoon effect, everything seems perfect and everything seems wonderful, and we tend to only look at the positive things. We only look at what they did right, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, obviously, but I do that too. I have done that. I'm a positive person. I'm optimistic, and most of the people listening to this show probably are too, especially if you're relationship-centered and if you're empathic. We want to be. We need to be optimistic. But the problem comes in my opinion, is that after those love hormones fade, we tend to sometimes think that they've changed. Did they change? Or are we just seeing them more accurately now? Maybe we missed signs. Maybe we ignored red flags. Maybe we talked ourselves out of things that we saw that our intuition or this little voice inside of us said, something's off here. And we're like, no. I mean, we just, it's my imagination. I'm just overthinking it. And of course, I am an overthinker. So I know exactly what that's like. And Venus is in my natal astrology chart. So I have a couple examples of when we might not be wanting to see the truth of the situation. So have you ever warned somebody else about somebody that they were dating and then they attack you instead? So this has happened to me a couple times. And one story I have was, this is decade plus ago, when I was much younger, and I was going to bars and nightclubs for part of my entertainment to socialize. And I don't do that as much anymore. I probably should. Sometimes I dance around the house, but okay, that's another story. So I had friends that were also going, and so it was socializing, but most of these friends were people that I didn't know outside of that nightclub that I was going to. And there's this one particular girl that I don't remember her name at this point. I'll just call her Brandy. Anyways, but I would see her often. So we were friends, and I'm using air quotes there, because we were friends in that atmosphere, but not outside of it. But still, we knew each other. Anyway, so she was dating this new person, and they're sitting at a table, and I was standing up next to the table, and they're holding hands underneath the table, and he was sitting on the edge of the table, and at the same time, as his left hand is holding hands with her, his right hand is literally feeling my leg. I know, come on, when I, you know, I'm not new to this, the game. Anyway, I mentioned something to her out loud in front of him because I had nothing to lose. And she asked him if it was true, and he lied to her and told her that it was not true, and she attacked me. And, you know, I don't remember her exact words, but, you know, it was, how dare you, roughly, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just casual. I was like, well, you know, it's nothing to me. I was just trying to help you out. It's up to you. That's one story. And there is another time. The next time I went out with them, by the way, it was not going out with them. It was the next time we were hanging out together. We were sitting at the bar together, and she had her money sitting on the table on the bar for the next drink round. And she had way too many this particular night. And I saw him grabbing some of that money and sticking it in his pocket. And I said something to him, and I made him put it back. And he eventually left, I think, that night, and I made sure she got home safely that night. But here's the thing. She ignored my warning the first time because she didn't want to see it. And here he showed his true character, And so that was just kind of unfortunate. And then I have another example of this, kind of the same thing. And this time I was going out with a cousin of mine. And we were doing also the dancing thing, going to nightclubs or whatever. And there's this hot new guy that she told me ahead of time that we were going to meet there. And she was all excited about. She couldn't wait to actually see him. So it was like this really happening thing. Now, she is my cousin. So we have a relationship, right? Anyway, so he also hit on me that night. And I said something to my cousin because she was really into this guy. And I don't want her to make a mistake. And she didn't even bother to ask him. She just right there on the spot started lambasting me and how dare I say that. And I was jealous and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, no. And oh, and yeah. And also my cousin's friend was questioning me. Like, seriously, he hit it on you? How did he hit on you? What do you mean by he hit on you? I'm like, look, I'm not new. This is not a new game to me. I know what somebody hit on me, you know? So anyway, I won't go on to the next story with him, but let's just say he showed his true colors in other ways after that. And again, she continued to ignore my warnings. But it's not like it's just exclusive to those two people. And those are very specific examples, but there's a lot of other subtle examples that we can all probably look at in our own relationships. I mean, I've certainly missed a lot of signs in my relationships. I have had my share of dysfunctional relationships, and I realized sometimes the hard way when I was fooling myself in what those, I think, I have lots of thoughts on this. I could go in so many different directions. But the bottom line is part of what makes love blind. And if this is a perfect world in which everybody was healthy, then that wouldn't be a problem. But the reality of the world that we live in is that most of us grew up in dysfunctional relationships. My premise currently is that we've all learned unhealthy ways of doing relationships. Where and how did any of us learn how to do a healthy relationship? Did we learn it from our parents? And I'm from a divorced family, and even people who have been raised and to this day their parents are still together in their first marriage, and by modern standards that's a quote-unquote successful marriage. But what I've learned is that many of those are stable dysfunction. There's codependency in a lot of those relationships. And also you have the personality differences. And even if you're learning healthy ways of coping with your intact parents who are on their first marriage, that doesn't necessarily mean that if you do those exact same things in your adult relationship, that you're going to get the same results. Because again, individual personality styles, and if you didn't see your parents argue and resolve issues, you're not going to learn how to resolve conflict. So, and the kinds of conflict that you're going to experience is going to be different than your parents. So I maintain that we've all learned unhealthy ways of doing relationships, and that none of us have learned completely healthy ways of doing relationships. So like with this show, my intention is to plant seeds on a better way of doing relationships. So let's look at them clearly and objectively so that we can raise the bar on our current relationships and so we can raise the bar on our current relationships and all have happier, healthier relationships. Thank you for listening. This was Real Talk About Real Relationships with your host, Judy Graybill. Have a pleasant day, and I hope you find a reason to smile today. Thank you.